praise in advance. I don't know what you're thanking God for, but I know that God believes and God can work it out. And so you give him a, before it even comes, praise, thanking him that it is so. Even though you might not know what it looks like, even though you may not know when it's going to show up, we give God that preemptive praise, saying, because it is so, we can be thankful. In Jesus' name. And let the church say, amen. I greet you in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is good to be in the house of the Lord on this morning. It is good to be in the house of the Lord on this morning. I don't know about you, but it's just been one of them weeks where you say, God, if I could just make it to Sunday morning, then I know that it'll be all right. Giving honor to the Spirit of God that is in this place. You know, I thank God for how God orchestrates things in service. From the time that I stepped onto the church property this morning, I keep saying to myself, God, people must have known what I was going to preach about. Because God continues to affirm and reaffirm through conversations and through hearing things that have been said in the service what the word of God that is going to be preached on this morning. Before I get into the word, if we can just affirm our young people this morning. Oh, come on, y'all can do better than that. We're not going to see them in the hospital. We're not going to see them at the courthouse. We're not going to see them at the jailhouse. But they are here in the house of God, lifting up the name of God. I echo what Pastor Warner said earlier. I don't know where I would be as a leader if I had not been shaped and developed within the context of the church. When we talk about sharpening our leadership skills, it is really learning on Sunday morning and on Wednesday and on Friday and on Saturday when I came to various functions at the church. That's where I really learned how to be a leader, not only in the context of the church, but also in the context of the world. And so, yeah, you may have to nudge. And I know a lot of parents may not be here, but there's some grandparents and there's some aunts and there's some uncles and there's some godparents in here. And you need to go get your folks. They go on to the parties. They go into the games. They go into the mall with no problems. But when it comes to coming to church on Sunday morning, where are we? Church is filled up on first, second, and third Sunday. But when it comes to supporting our children and encouraging our children, where are we? So I thank you for your boldness, and I thank you for your ability to be able to articulate for yourself and on behalf of your peers. And I apologize on behalf of the church that we are not doing a better job at supporting you all. We will do better. We will do better. And we know that you will hold us accountable in doing better because we want to shape you all to be all that God has called and created you to be. Let the church say, amen. Amen. For those of you all who are not with us, the scripture reading that I chose is not the one that's on the screen, but I want to read that one from Psalms chapter 27, and I will be incorporating that into what we're going to be talking about today. But as I was preparing, God took me in another direction, and so we're going to trust and believe that the Spirit of God knows what he's doing, and we're going to march boldly forward with it. And so we're going to be reading from Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. You can follow along on the screen, or if you so choose, you may open up your Bibles. And the word of God reads, "For surely I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for your harm, to give you a future with a hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. And when you search for me, you will find me if you seek me with your whole heart." I would like to preach very quickly from the subject, are you lit? Turn to your neighbor and say, are you lit? turn to your neighbor on the other side and ask him with some attitude, are you lit? Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, we thank you for your presence in this place. Now, God, I ask that you will fall fresh on your servant. God, minister unto me even as I minister unto your people. For God, if you don't speak in this place, your people won't receive a word. We pray that your word might go forth so that you might be glorified. The people of God might be edified and Satan might be horrified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I was looking around at some of y'all's facial expressions, and I know y'all got a little bit nervous, and that's all right. And I really came today to talk to our children on this youth day, but I believe that there is a message in here for the adults as well. And so although I'm talking to you all, the adults are going to be listening in on what we're saying. Are y'all all right with that? All right. And before I really start talking to you, I need to back up a little bit because some of the adults in here got a little bit nervous when I asked them, are they lit? And I want to spend some time just explaining to you all what the word lit means. If you go back to last year, there was a rapper that came out with a song, Every Day We Lit. And if you notice and you hear and you go to the mall or you're walking down the hallways of various elementary, middle, and high schools, you hear our kids using this term. Oh, we lit. Oh, that's lit. It's like, what? And so I went out to the Urban Dictionary, and here are some definitions. Now, there's many different ways that this particular term has been used, but some of the clean ways that this word has been used is when something is turned up or popping. It's not popping, it's popping. Come on, say it with me, popping. All right. When something is amazing or the act of which a person is excited or hyped due to a certain situation. Now, you may say to yourself, well, Reverend Holt, that's a worldly term. Yeah, okay. It is. But I believe that in the context of the church, that we can be lit. I believe that in the context of the church, if we really get to the point where we get lit about being here, where we get lit about the things that God is doing with us, when we get lit about the possibility of the blessing that God has for us, then our worship experience may be a little bit different. I would submit to you that if we get lit about the things that the plans that God has for us, and if we get lit about the things that God is going to take us through and the victories that God is going to give us, then our spiritual life may be a little bit different. I wouldn't have to ask about money, right? Because out of the thankfulness and the fullness of what God is doing for me, I give out of that. I wouldn't have to worry about whether or not people are going to show up to Bible study because they have such a hungering and such a yearning for what God is going to do that they want to learn more. When we get lit, we can get lit about hockey teams. I didn't come to preach about this, but let me just stop for a moment. Pastor Warner, what would it look like if people got as excited about the word of God as they got about the Stanley Cup? What would it look like if people were as devoted to coming to Bible study and as devoted about coming to church as they were about watching the NBA Finals? Are we lit about what we want to be lit about? But are we getting lit about the things that are important to us? Last time I checked, I appreciate the Golden State Warriors. I appreciate the Capitals. I do. I support them. Definitely the home team. But last time I checked, nobody on the Capitals was guaranteeing me salvation. Last time I checked, nobody in the Golden State Warriors organization was paying any of my bills. Right? But when we get to the point where it comes to church, oh no, I can't do that. Mm-mm. When it gets to the point where we have to sacrifice and we have to fast and we have to pray and we have to do things that help our spiritual development, we just kind of do it lackadaisically. Oh, I'll get to it. Oh, I'll do better next year. That's going to be my New Year's resolution. I'm going to come to church. I'm going to pay my tithes. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do next year. And God is calling us to a place, and God is calling us to a time frame where we step up our game. God is calling us to a place where every day we can be lit about the things that he's doing in our life. And I would submit to you that I want to use this word lit as an acronym. And there are three things that I just want to point out to you very quickly. And the first thing, and the L, is living your life. Somebody say living your life. Now, I was thinking specifically about Dimitri and Nicole as I was preparing this part of the sermon. And unfortunately, oftentimes in life, we as adults, sometimes we do you all wrong. I was talking to a young lady yesterday, and I asked her the question, what is it that you're planning on doing with your future? And oftentimes, when I ask myself that question, the first response that I get is, well, my parents said that I need to do such and such and so. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, that's not the question I ask you. I ask you, what are you doing with your future? And oftentimes, we as parents project on you what we want for you, when really we as parents should be challenging you to seek God for what he has for you. Because as quiet as it's kept, even as parents, we don't know what the future holds for you. But we do know the future holder. The word of God says in Jeremiah chapter 29, 11, for I know, that's not me, that's not Pastor Warner, that's not anybody in here, that I that is being referred to is God. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. And so in order for you to live your life, you really need to check in with the future maker. Because no matter where you go, God knows what lies ahead of you. God knows what plans that he has for you. God knows what trials and tribulations you're going to go through. He knows who's going to get on your nerves. He knows who's going to cuss you out. He knows who's going to be in your corner. He knows who's going to encourage you. Even before you get there, God knows. And so I would encourage you, children, that you get to know who holds your future. Listen to what your parents are saying. Take their advice, but at the end of the day, after you hear them, go and pray to the man who knows your future. God, what is it that you want for me? God, where is it that you would have me to go? God, in me being lit, how is it that I can live my life in a way that's pleasing to you? And I'll be the first to admit, I don't know what I want to do when I grow up. I don't. Most of us don't. I know I want to do something great. I know I want to do something I enjoy, but I have no idea about what I want to do when I grow up. And so oftentimes the reason why we as adults can't tell you what to do is because we don't know what we're doing. Y'all can say, ouch, it's okay. Oftentimes the reason why I can't guide you in the principles of God's word is because sometimes I don't even know myself. And so obviously that leads to a mess, right? Because it's like the blind leading the blind. How am I supposed to tell you what God wants for you when I haven't even checked in with God about what he wants for me? How am I supposed to lead you in the principles of God when I don't even know what the principles are myself? But the great thing about all of this is you don't have to wait for your parents to get it together. You don't. You don't have to wait for your parents to tell you what to do, because the same access that I have to God is the same access that you have. The same way that I can go before God and I can seek after God for what it is that he has for me is the same thing that you can do for yourself. It's been amazing in my time in ministry how many children I have seen lead their parents to God. That's an awesome thing to see. It's amazing how I have seen children change their parents' life and challenge their parents' life, not in a disrespectful way, but in a respectful way. And so I would really challenge you. I appreciate your openness, right? I appreciate the way that you poured out your spirit. But I would place that challenge back on you all. The most powerful youth ministries that I have seen are those that have kids who have taken the unction and the ability to stand up and say, this is what we want. I'm not waiting for no adult to do it. I'm not waiting for no adult to tell me what to do. Here is what we want. Make it happen. And each of you all have the ability to do that. I've seen some of y'all out in the parking lot acting up. I know y'all have a voice. But when it comes to coming in the church, when it comes to having a voice in the church, y'all are the first ones to be quiet. If you want a youth ministry that's going to work for you, get excited about it. If you want a youth ministry that's going to thrive, get excited about it. If you want a youth ministry that's going to grow, begin to go out and tell your friends, hey, we got a lit youth ministry. Y'all need to come on over to the Grove. Y'all need to come on over to the greater Gaithersburg area because we got some things going on that you need to be a part of. There are some people who we will never be able to reach on my best preaching day, on Pastor Warner's best preaching day, on a Newman's best preaching day. There are some people that we will never be able to reach that you will be able to reach because you're their peer. You can talk to them on that level. You can reason with them on that level. You can get them excited in the same way that you are. And so just as we as a church are going to step up and do our job, I need you to step up and do your job too. It's not on Shaquilla. It's not on Shamim. It's on all of you all. If you want a youth ministry that's going to work, if you want a youth ministry that's going to thrive, stand up, find your voice, and let's get to business. It's just that simple. We can be sitting here a year from now having the same conversation. But until you all get it together, and until we as a church get it together, we're going to be in the same position that we're in. And God is calling us to a different place. God is calling us to a higher level. And it's up to all of us to be able to move in the direction that we need to go. After we live our life, the I stands for intentionally seeking God. Intentionally seeking God. Somebody say intentionally. It's amazing to me, Pastor Warner, how when teenagers get intentional about things, how nagging they become. So can I do this? So can I go there? Well, didn't you just ask me that like 10 minutes ago? But you still haven't answered me. I need to know right now. I need to know today. I have people I need to get with, and I have people I need to connect with, right? In the same way that you all are intentional about going to basketball games and going to football games and going to the mall and hooking up with your friends, is the same intentionality that you need to have in your relationship with God. That same intentionality that you have at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, breathing heavy on the phone with that little boy or that little girl that you're really not supposed to be breathing with, that's the same intentionality that you need to have in seeking a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can say, ouch. It's all right. We need to be intentional about seeking after God. It says in verse number 12, then when you call upon me, and come and pray to me, I will hear you, right? Let me break that down for you. There's some action that has to happen prior to God hearing you. You oftentimes ask yourself, well, why is it that I feel like I'm in the same position? Why is it that I feel like, you know, God is not hearing me? Well, are you doing anything or are you sitting on your behind? Are you waiting for God to come and bless you or are you actively engaged in what he's calling you to do? It says in this verse, then when you call upon me and I come and I pray, and you pray to me, those are action words. You have to be actively doing something. You have to be actively seeking after God so that when God is ready to respond to you and when God is ready to connect with you, that you're not sitting there saying, well, I don't know. Did I hear the Lord? I think I heard him. I'm not quite sure. Pastor Warner, what does it mean when I hear the Lord? I can't answer that question for you because the way that I hear God may be different from the way that you hear God. But as a result of you praying and as a result of you seeking after God, that's where you learn what that communication relationship looks like. I will hear from you, and when you search for me, search is an action word. Search doesn't mean I'm sitting on the same pew doing the same thing that I was doing when I was 10 years old. And now that I'm 60 years old, I think that there's going to be a different outcome. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different outcome. You cannot approach God the same way that you did when you first received Christ as you are 20 years down the road and expect God to do something different for you. God is calling us to a different level. God is calling us to a different place. God is moving us in a forward direction. And if you are sitting still and you are sitting stagnant, you are not in a position to receive what God has for you. When you search for me, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. With all your heart. So sometimes I can't seek God and be on social media. I can't seek God and be trying to chase after some man or woman. I can't seek God with all my heart if I'm chasing after some worldly possession. Sometimes I have to remove myself. Sometimes I have to exclude myself so that I can get in a position where I can hear what it is that God has to say. Turn down the noise. Turn off your phone. Turn off your computer. Go in the room and close the door. Put a do not disturb sign on it. Because you need to be in a place and in a position where you can connect with what God has for you. After living your life, after being intentional about seeking God, the third thing that we need to do is tell others about Jesus' power. As I said before, there are some people who I will never be able to reach on my best day. That if you open up your mouth and begin to tell people about the goodness of God in your life, you will be amazed at how lives begin to be changed and transformed. One of the last things that Jesus did before he left this earth was to give us the command. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me." And so as a result of what has been given to me, I am now giving you the authority to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. It doesn't matter whether you have the title pastor or preacher, a minister or sister or brother. God is calling us to go and tell others about his power. Now, you may say, "Well, Reverend Ho, I know, you know, sometimes I have to be politically correct. I can't go to work, you know, toting the Bible, and I can't do this and I can't do that." One of the greatest joys that I've had in my time in ministry, and when I say ministry, I mean even in my work career, is by sharing the principles of God's word without ever mentioning the name of Jesus. Some of y'all looking at me with blank stare. Let me give you an example of how that works. I talk to people all the time about the journey that I've gone through, the educational journey, the ministry journey, but never do I open up the Word of God, like physically open up the Bible. Because in me giving my testimony, I clearly lay out how God has blessed me. I clearly lay out how God has opened up doors. I clearly lay out how God has moved me into various areas that only he can move me into. And it's amazing because as I tell people, they're like, "Well, how did that happen?" And when people begin to ask questions, then that opens up the door for me to tell them about a man named Jesus. I'm not coming to you beating you on the head with the Bible. I'm just simply sharing with you about what God has done for me. And as a result of me sharing what God has done for me, that then sparks an interest and lights a match within that person to make them ask me more questions. And as a result of them asking me more questions, then I can introduce them. You know, there's a man named Jesus who loved you so much, even in spite of your mess. Even in spite of the downcomings and the shortfalls that you have, he loved you so much that he gave his life just for you. And even in me sharing, it's amazing. Sometimes tears start streaming down people's eyes. It's like, "Well, what do you mean by that? Nobody could ever love me like that. I've been abused. I've been hurt. I've been torn down. I've been destroyed. No man can ever love me like that." And I'm like, but Jesus is not like everybody else. We were talking earlier in a Sunday school class about how oftentimes people allow their vertical relationships to get misconstrued with their horizontal relationship. I'm not going to always do right. You're not going to always like me, and I may not always like you. But that's not the same in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Because even in the midst of my mess, God still loves me. Even when I'm at my worst, God still loves me. Even when I mess up beyond repair, God is like, "You're still my daughter." And I know for a lot of us, that's hard for us to understand. But God's love is unconditional. no matter who you slept with last night, no matter what bottle you had in your mouth before you came to church, no matter what thoughts you're having, even sitting here in this service, God still loves you. If you've been abused or neglected, God still loves you. And if we could just get that revelation, how different our attitude would be. So when we come in here and we begin to praise, we can preemptively thank God in advance for the healing that's going to come. We can preemptively thank God for that bill that's going to be taken care of. We can preemptively thank God for that healing that's going to come. Even though I don't know when it's coming, I can still raise my hand and say, thank you, Jesus. Even though I may not know how that situation or circumstance is going to work out, because I believe the words of Jeremiah chapter 29, which says that God knows the plans that he has for me. Even though I believe the words of Psalm 27, which says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I dare somebody to come after me. I dare somebody to speak a word against me, because I am a child of God and I will live like I am a child of God. I dare the enemy to come after me, because I know with whose assurance and whose power and authority I operate under. What would it look like in your life if you lived like you knew who God was? What would it look like in your work life if when you went to work on Monday morning, you went in there acting like you knew who your daddy was? What would it look like in your financial situation if you carried yourself like you knew who your provider was? The world encourages us to get lit. The world encourages us to step on who we can, to get as much as we can while we knock everybody else to the side. But the Spirit of God within you is saying something different. Will you live your life like you know who God is? Will you intentionally seek after the God who kept your mother, your grandmother, your great-grandmother, and your great-great-great-grandmother? Will you serve that God? And will you share the power and the blessing and the good and the bad that God has brought you through, so that somebody else may come to know that same Jesus? You don't have to go to seminary to tell people about Jesus. You never have to stand in a pulpit in order to tell people about Jesus. All you have to do is be willing to open up your mouth and say, here's where I was, but God. I used to smoke and drink, but God. I used to sleep around with anybody who would give me a chance, but God. I used to lie, cheat, and steal my way through life, but God. It is in those but God experiences that life transformation begins to happen. And so if you don't know that Jesus that I'm talking about today, I invite you to come to get to know him. Get to know a man who loves you just for you. He's not going to touch you inappropriately. He's not going to call you out your name. He's not going to degrade you. He just wants to be in a relationship with you. And if you don't know about that Jesus today, I invite you to come. Get to know him for yourself. Not because of what somebody has told you, but because you have experienced him in a new and a real and exciting way. The second invitation I want to extend is for those of you all who may say, well, Reverend Holt, I know that Jesus. I've been walking with him. I've been talking with him. But I don't have a place that I can call my church home. Now, let me tell you, Emory Grove is by no means a perfect church. We have people in here who are sick, people in here who think they're well, but at the end of the day, this church is like a hospital where we come to meet the doctor so that the doctor can fix what's wrong with us, so that we can go back out into the world and bring other sick people in here. And so if you're looking for a church home, we invite you to come, to grow and to learn and to strive to be all that God has called and created you to be. We do fall short sometimes, but we strive to be all that God has called and created us. And the third invitation I want to extend is for those of you all who may say, well, I've been away from home. And I hear the voice of God saying, my son or my daughter, it's time. It's time for you to come and get connected. It's time for you to learn how to be lit for me. You've learned that in the world context, but I want to show it to you in a different way. I want to connect to you in a different way. I want to have you experience the joy of my salvation. And so as you stand to your feet this morning, if you fall within either of those